In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Havu Ladonai, Bene Elim. Havu Ladonai, Kavad Veoz. Havu Ladonai, Kavad Shemo. Hishtak Havu Ladonai, Beadrat Kodesh. Grant to the Lord, O sons of God, grant to the Lord glory and strength. Grant to the Lord his name's glory. Bow to the Lord in holy majesty. In reading Psalm 29 earlier this week, including the version that we heard earlier, the Hebrew that I just shared, and the translation by scholar Robert Alter that I just quoted, I was struck by the psalm's cadence and its repetition and its momentum. In fact, the more that I read it, the more that I could imagine hearing the voices of preachers who use a rhythmic driving style in their sermons. I could hear their voices proclaiming the repeating phrases woven throughout the psalm, voices growing more and more intense and impassioned, voices moving their congregations further and further along in a growing wave rolling toward a shore that they can't yet see. Now, admittedly, one voice I seemed to hear above all others was that of Martin Luther King Jr. I could hear his emphasis and his passion. I could hear him using his voice to grab hold of the listener and carry them along on the journey. I even found myself imagining that I was alongside all those who heard his words, leaping to my feet at the end and shouting, "Amen!" But don't worry, I'm not going to try and replicate a Martin Luther King Jr. sermon for you this morning. What I would like to do, though, is draw your attention to the rhythm and the drive and the imagery of this psalm. You likely noticed words and phrases that are used again and again throughout the text. Ascribe to the Lord, and glory, and the voice of the Lord. This is referred to as a pattern of incremental repetition. Don't worry, there's no quiz. Something that, aside from what it adds to the psalm, also indicates the age of this song. And that's what psalms are, songs. This pattern is a device favored in the oldest layers of biblical poetry, and you find an example of it in the Song of Deborah, which some think dates back to 1100 BCE. So it's conceivable that the words we together just spoke from Psalm 29 are ones that could be more than 3,000 years old. Beyond what it says about the age of the psalm, however, I feel that the repetitive nature and the drive of the language is important for how it reflects the message being conveyed by the psalmist. This is a song of praise and celebration. It is a song that has an introduction, a set of verses, and a coda. It's an arrangement that gives us what we are praising and tells us why we are celebrating. Those speaking are giving thanks for the power of God, reflected in the use of the word thunder, which in Old Testament imagery is often used to portray divine power or revelation. And in the regular repetitive phrase, the voice of the Lord, it rolls like that same thunder across the land. Even in the severe, chaotic imagery found in the heart of this psalm, flames of fire, the shaking wilderness, whirling oaks, forests stripped bare, the remembrance of the flood, in the midst of all these, God is present. In fact, this is the only place in the entire Old Testament in which the glory of the Lord is so extensively manifested in natural phenomena. Now, the psalmist says the voice of God is the acting force behind each one of these natural occurrences. And then we're reminded that God is enthroned above all of it. God is among the events of this life. God is in the heart of everything that takes place, but even so remains greater than them all. God rules over the powers of nature, as well as ruling in the human realm. And apart from the chaotic and confusing noise of this world, apart from the cacophony caused by those engaged in argument and disagreement, apart from the voices of those crying out in despair, apart from all of that, the voice we hear is the voice of God. The powerful, majestic voice of the one seated and enthroned as a king is speaking to us. In the context of this psalm, nothing is asked of us. There are no demands. It is simply a reminder to us that God is glory, a reminder that God is supreme, a reminder that God is mighty. On this day on which we recall Jesus' baptism by John, I think there's still another reminder that's very important for us. The God of the Psalms is the God of the baptism. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New. The same God who broke the cedars of Lebanon also ripped the skies open. The same God who shook the wilderness sent the Spirit as a winged courier to the Jordan River. In the words of Karl Barth, the one omnipresent God remains the one he is. This is his constancy. God may appear sometimes to us to change his mind, but God never changes. The voice of the God who speaks to us in the psalm, and the voice of the God who spoke on the day of Jesus' baptism, who said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." That's the voice that can be the voice that speaks through us. We are the people blessed by God with peace. And we can be the people to take that blessing and share it with others. We have heard in the psalm of God's glory and strength, and we can be the reflection of that strength to others. We have witnessed God's hand at work in the world, and we can act likewise and be God's hands working for others. To return to a phrase that I used earlier, and again, there's no quiz, we can be the pattern of incremental repetition in the world, the rhythmic, driving reminder of God. Grant to the Lord, O sons of God, grant to the Lord glory and strength. Grant to the Lord his name's glory. Bow to the Lord in holy majesty. Amen.